Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White.
Byron Mann
from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked. Keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Yes, 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 yes. No, it is not the Director, but it is Real Talk on Dollhouse Radio. I am your host, Heaven Hollywood, filling in for the Director. And welcome to Real Talk, sponsored by Dollhouse Radio, of course, and Dan Morrell. I'd like to say peace. Shout out. We have my guy, Jimmy Ace, super producer, producing the show tonight. Thank you very much. Serves a hand as we try to fill in, do our best to. We can't say that's why I didn't come on and do his little schmeal about ready, lights, camera. It's corny to steal somebody else's line. So I'm going to leave that to him. We're going to shout him out. He's traveling right now, traveling the world. He'll be back next week for next week's show. We're going to go on to something tonight. Yes, he deserves a hand. Tonight we're going to talk about our topic. Thank you very much, Jimmy Ace. We're going to talk about our topic. We decided, the cast, once we bring them in, the Jedi Council, when they come in, they discovered this last week. They discussed this, and it's remakes. Are they necessary, and what films should have never been remade? So we're going to talk about that tonight. Also, Power. Saturday night was the episode 1 of season 2. We're going to discuss how that went across and what exactly everyone thought about Power season 1. If anyone's out there in radio land or digital land wants to call in and express their opinion on Power Episode 1, were you satisfied? Did you like it? What did you expect? Did you get what you expected? The number is 646-595-4038. Of course, you have to press 1. Yes, it is Real Talk. We talk about everything real, movies, TV shows, biopics, you name it. My super producer is Jimmy Ace. Welcome back to Real Talk.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Who do I owe this moment?
Well, you owe it to Wes Clark, of course.
Well, of course, Wes Clark, a handful of Wes Clark.
You owe it to Wes Clark. So we're going to talk about a little Power. We're going to go into some remakes. That should be fun.
Yes. By the way, Ralph is here whenever you're ready. Ralph is here whenever you're ready.
Okay, Ralph is here, so let's not even hesitate.
Okay,
we're
cool.
going to go into some things, but we're going to bring in Ralphie Boy. We're going to bring in
Ralph.
Oh, hey, hey, wait, everybody, what's going on? What's going on?
All right,
yeah,
Ralph, we actually owe this.
I'm so excited to be on the Heavy Hollywood. Oh, wait a minute, wrong show.
Definitely deserves an applause. We actually owe this show to Ralph. He did come up with the the topic of tonight's show, right in the blink of an eye. Hey, we should do next show. Hey, yeah, well, that's a great idea. Let's
I'm here for the team. I'm here for the team.
Absolutely. So
right.
Remakes, are they necessary? What film should have never been remade? And we'll also ask Ralph and Kev when he gets here, what movies would they like if they had a chance, they was in control, what movie would they remake?
That's interesting.
I also want to pose a question, and even if you guys carry this to next week, and that is, they have a little thing with the black actresses in Hollywood. There's a little clique called The Circle, and I wanted to go into who is your favorite black actress out of The Circle. Now, The Circle consists of Gabby Union, Sanaa Lathan.
God, look how she looked. Go ahead.
Right. Nia Long.
Check. Go ahead.
So it's Sanaa Lathan, Nia Long, let me look down my list.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Long, Gabby Union.
Check.
What is this chick's name from? Help me out, Ralph. The girl from that played the stripper in Best Man.
Oh, that's I'm about to say. Can I?
Stripper in Best Man.
I know exactly who. I know exactly who it is.
And
I gotta Google her name.
She's also played in it's her, and then because she has a name like the other one is last name is Jones. I think it's her.
Wait a minute, give me one second. I'll tell you exactly who it is.
Yeah, just look it up.
Regina Hall.
So it's Regina Hall. It's Gabby Union. It's Sanaa Lathan. It's Nia Long. And I'm missing one person.
We got Kevin. I'm going to bring in Kev right now.
Okay,
hold
good.
On.
Kev's in. Okay.
Kevin's in the house.
What's
up, my nigga?
What's good? Real Talk Crew is here. Yes, get that man a hand. You have to give the Jedi Council a hand. They're here every Monday for you guys doing it. What's the girl? Kev, what we were discussing was, when we're going to get into this later on, the circle is what their coin phrase is, and that's five black actresses in Hollywood, and it was Regina Hall, Nia Long, Sanaa Lathan, Gabrielle Union, and then there's the one other chick who plays in the Best Man's. He played the Best Man's wife. And she also played the stripper in the other. She played the stripper in the film with Lisa Ray.
Yeah, she's always in the Marlon Wayans film too.
Yes,
she's in that circle. She needs to be out there.
I was reading that yesterday.
Monica Calhoun. I know that's Monica Calhoun. She needs to be out that circle. She doesn't.
So you don't like her in that circle.
No, she doesn't do enough. She only does a movie like every once in a blue moon. She don't need to be in that circle.
No, she's in that circle. She's in that circle. She's definitely in that circle.
She's the token go-to.
And you can kind of sort of throw an honorable mention in there with Paula Patton.
Paula Patton. Well, I really think they're doing is these girls have played in films together a lot.
I got you. Okay.
So that's why they call it The Circle. And, you know, they're all friends outside of Hollywood, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's nice.
So, but if that's the case, then the one girl who's missing that eclipsed all of them, Taraji P. Henson.
Right, but you see, this is the thing. I'm going to give you a little tea. Because you know how when Hot Sugar, we deliver the tea 24/7 on Instagram.
Hot tea.
So,
hot. What?
So
wait. Let me take a sip. I got my Starbucks cup here. Let me.
Yes, get your Starbucks cup. Get your Starbucks cup. Because this is some exclusive Hot Sugar tea. Everyone else, this is what makes us different. Everyone else delivers tea. We deliver hot tea. You got to put the sugar in before you sip the tea.
Wait. We got the intro music. Hold on. We got the perfect intro music for this big hot tea. Okay, hold on.
Such a hot tea from heaven, Hollywood.
It is hot. It is scorchy. And it is good. Open it. Like the movie in the summer. It better be.
So Taraji, you know, according to, and you know how I get down, I'm not trying to be funny, you know how I'm down with, you have to, if you want Hot Sugar, you have to stay connected to the gay publicists.
Uh-oh.
Because gay publicists know all the tea.
They got the juice. They all inside the crack.
Right. They know the tea. So I got this text. I got a text from, because before I after Ralph came up with this great idea, how I found out about the circle and stuff like that. And it's funny, Ralph, because I said the same thing. I was like, wait a minute, what about Taraji? But according to this gay publicist, Taraji, they don't really roll with, they don't really fuck with Taraji like that no more.
Oh, I know why.
What would you say your reason would be, Kevin? Because he actually told me. What would you say your reason would be?
Because she's high class, goddammit.
Ralph?
Well, she's like the hottest black actress going right now with power going on, so I would think
and she
Empire.
Ain't playing up to no foolishness.
Yeah, I mean, Empire. Yeah, forget power.
Right.
Fuck power.
Right.
I mean, Empire.
Right. So that is, and according to them, that is kind of in that realm, in that ballpark. You know, they feel as though she thinks some shit don't stink all of a sudden. And then, you know, she kind of changed her number on them. You know, she dodged dipping phone calls. You know, they was catching voicemails all of a sudden that they wasn't used to catching.
She's 50.
While y'all
doing
I love Taraji. I'm not gonna lie. I love her since Baby Boy. I said, wait a minute, this girl is hot.
always. Listen, y'all doing. Wait. They doing one, maybe two films every 4 years. Well, except for Regina King, because she stay on TV. She stay working, so she's always on some kind of TV program. So I'll give her that. But the rest of y'all, and Gabrielle Union, if she's talking crap, I remember a couple of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I heard her saying, well, it was either an interview or something that I was reading, she was saying, well, I'm not all into the cattiness no more. I'm not all into the not wishing somebody success and all of that. So
just not in public.
Yeah. Okay. So that clear.
She's not into doing that in public. Yeah, you know, she's doing that on the low now. So you know, that was from my I gotta stay connected with the, you know, with the gay publicists, because they know it all.
That's right.
And they have no reason to lie.
Nope.
So we're going to go into that a little bit. I guess I'm going to have to, I'll follow in the director's footsteps and tell you guys the top earning films. I guess you guys call that the week recap or what have
weekly
you.
Weekly recap.
Ooh. So you're going to have to help me along here.
Ooh.
So we're looking here. And we'll look at the what do you guys usually do? The top grossing films of the week?
Top five.
Yeah, start with five.
Okay.
I know how you like to start with number one all the time, Hammond. Please start from five to one. Yeah, please.
We'll start with five. Let's see here. Let's see if I can actually maneuver through this. You know, this is my first time at the rodeo, fellas. my first time at the rodeo.
What's that?
Some release coming out. Jurassic Park. How do you guys feel about that?
Oh, Jurassic
June
World.
12th.
Want to see it?
I am there on Wednesday. We actually have something on Facebook called Movie Night Out, where we invite friends from Facebook to come all gather together. We go out to see a movie, and then we head out for drinks at the Goldfish Cafe after that.
Wow.
No, that'll go.
But I'm definitely in the house on Thursday night at 7 o'clock
right.
to go see that.
Cool.
Okay, so that is a that's June 12th. Also, let's see what they also have. Set Fire to the Stars. Did you even hear about that film? Set Fire to the Stars. That is it's a drama. I actually saw the trailer for this. You guys probably might want to check this out. The trailer, Elijah Wood, I don't know if you heard of him, it was in the film, but the trailer looked pretty sick. And also, what I've been seeing, I know it's not coming out till September, but I'm calling this the Black Fatal Attraction. Have you seen the trailer for this film?
Yo,
no.
Let me tell you something.
I did. I saw
that. Are you talking about what I think you're about to start talking about?
I think it's called, The Perfect Guy or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. For the listeners out there that have not watched The Following, you need
right.
to go back and watch the last final season of The Following.
Okay.
And watch the last, I want to say, 6 episodes. Let me tell you something. Dude is, and I always loved this dude as an actor. I love him since Barbershop. I always loved this dude because you could tell he's versatile. And then when he flipped over to Underworld, I was just like, okay, I'm done. This dude plays psycho like crazy. This is a dude that when you see, like, you usually see a pretty boy on the street, you look out, you keep walking. This is the pretty boy that you see in the alley that you know he carrying heat and he gonna run. So it's like it's no crossing the other side of the street because he's following you. You know what I'm saying? It's the pretty boy that's off. You know what I'm saying? You know, he got scarred by his girl and he's off. Like nothing don't matter no more. Like he's Bishop on steroids.
So that's Michael Ealy.
Yeah.
That's right.
This dude,
the green eyed bandit of Hollywood.
Yes, yes. This dude in The Following, listen, he's just he's psychotic and he's calculating. He's a calculating psychotic killer, like serial killer, just straight up and down. Will murk you and won't even think about it. Like stab you right in the neck and just keep walking and sip on tea like it ain't nothing. From
wow.
what I saw in the trailer, him being on The Following was the perfect segue to that. Now I don't know if he did that movie before he did The Following,
right.
But just looking at how he is in the trailer. Listen, that movie's going to be good. And I heard a couple of women saying, oh, well, I'm tired of seeing these type of films. Let me tell you something. The last one J-Lo was in was good. The one with Taraji and What's-His-Face was good. I have no doubt that this is going to be good.
So, now, Ralph, you saw the trailer. I saw the actual long version. I got a exclusive glimpse before they started showing on TV. But, just seeing the trailer, Ralph, do you think it's something that you might be interested in seeing?
Me, I do want to see it because it is a little different. And I guess because it also has some real life things where girls think that, oh, so and so is so perfect, and behind closed door, the guy is a psycho, stalker, possessive. So, and Michael Early, I didn't see him in The Following, but it's funny that we're talking about this. And I came home today from going to movies, and For Color Girls was on, you know, where he – and they were showing the scene where he dropped the kids out the window. I'm sorry if I spoiled it if no one ever saw it, but hell, the movie was like 3 years old, bought the DVD, you know. the question is, can he pull it off? Yeah, you know, I guess because girls are used to seeing him in, like, you know, what's that – like a man and stuff,
right,
like,
right,
the romantic
right.
lead. Now you see him as this creepo. Same thing like last year when the movie came out with Taraji and
Idris Elba.
Yeah, exactly. Where everybody's seeing him, even though we all saw him on The Wire, but you never really saw him. You saw him like creepy businessman, you know, drug dealer.
Right.
Now you're looking at creepy like psycho killer. I'll kill your kids and eat your chicken and all. It's different. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be good.
I think I want to see it because it's got my guy in it, Morris Chestnut, and I'm glad that he finally got a role where he wasn't like the best man like he is in every film.
I can't stand Morris Chestnut. I'm sorry.
Oh, stop it.
I'm gonna say it like this. because I never had a chance to say this before. I mean, Morris Chestnut is a very good actor, but I could not stand him in The Best Man, the first or the second one, because he was hypocritical. He was hypocritical in the movie.
That is true.
You know, he's mad
true.
At Taye Higgs only because he slept with Mia. But the reason he slept with Mia is because you kept messing around with other people and she got fed up with it, so you were the cause for her doing it.
But that wasn't his man, though. That's a little off limits. I get
that part, but still, you were the cause, and you didn't accept any of the responsibility for that action. And then the second one, now it's 10 years later, and you're supposed to be all into all godly, and one of the main things of the that we preach is forgiveness.
Yeah, I hated him. I'm not gonna lie, I hated him in the second one.
Yeah,
but
you couldn't forgive him.
Right. After you act like it was all good while you're doing the electric slide as number one's going off.
Exactly. Like, it's all wrapped up. You're sitting there, you're crying at the wedding. Even when he was talking at the wedding, you're looking at him like, okay, man, it happened. Let's let it go. But
right.
Now it's 10 years later. His kids aren't calling him uncle. You know, you're all cold to him, everything else, you know.
Yeah.
But you couldn't forgive him. And it wasn't until the whole thing with the book that all of a sudden,
right.
and then you wanted to blast him the book, which he didn't even have nothing to do with that. Neil Long created that book. He didn't.
Right.
Right. But you wanted to rip into him, kick him out of his house, and all that stuff. So, I mean, I did not like him.
They're holding against Mark.
Yeah, everybody wanted to hold it against Taye Higgs. Like, he was a problem. No, he wasn't. Was he wrong for what he did? Maybe. I'm gonna say maybe.
Because
he did not legitimately know when he slept with her if she was gonna get back with him or not. She could have broke up with him, slept with him, and kept him moving with someone else. He didn't know that he was gonna get back with him or not. So that's why I'm gonna say maybe. But come on, dude, look at all the dirt you did before you found Guy and you found this perfect girl.
Right.
And that's the main reason why I didn't like maybe not him. It could have been anybody playing that role, but because Morris Chestnut was the guy that played it, that's why I don't like the role.
Okay. Well,
y'all making me wanna because I don't really, excuse me for saying this, but I really don't watch urban film. Now I got
you know what, man. You know what, man. You sound like my mom.
Yeah.
Right there,
oh, no,
right
wait,
there.
Wait,
you sound
wait,
like my
wait,
mom.
Wait, one. You wait 1 minute, Kevin. What do you mean you have to watch them both? You saw The Best Man.
No, I didn't.
You haven't seen The Best Man?
No, not at all.
Wow. Go watch The Best Man, and then go watch The Best Man Holiday right after that. So
I still might have to. Because if y'all saying y'all hate Morris Chestnut, to me that's saying he did his job at the Nat.
I don't hate him.
I don't hate Morris Chestnut the actor. I just hate Morris Chestnut in that character in that movie.
And since that's the last big film he had, it's still lingering.
Well, it's not the last big film he had because it wasn't really big, but he did the film with Halle Berry where he was the cop and her boyfriend.
Right.
The Cole.
Well, yeah. Well, The Best Man was big in that. I did see that Halle Berry. It's a very good film, by the way. But yeah, that happens a lot when an actor, to me, that's his last big film. So he got off on a bad note with me on that second one because I agree with Ralph totally. But I definitely want to check that out. See how Morris Chestnut. Pulled this role up. I already know. I have a lot of confidence in Mike Willie. I know he's going to do a great job. The weekend that just passed, Spy, weekend gross, $29 million. Spy is number one in its first week. The number two film was San Andreas. San Andreas.
Very good movie.
Yeah,
really?
I saw that today. I was like, wow.
$25 million weekend gross. It came up a little short. Spy nipped it out by about $4 million. Insidious Chapter 3.
Woohoo!
Was third. And Entourage was the film. Comes in at the first week. comes in at number 4. Warner Brothers, 10 million over the weekend. And then it closes out with Mad Max, Fury Road, Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Avengers, Age of Ultron is still number 8, dropping down from number 5 last week. Aloha was number 6 last week, is number 9 this week, and then Poltergeist 2015. And that's a perfect segue to our main topic for tonight, which is remakes. Are they necessary? Also, what films should have never been remade? And I'm going to also ask you guys off the top of your head, or if you have pencil and paper, or if you have it in your phone, or what have you, if you were in charge, what film would you remake that you think you can make better or just as good as the first one? Somebody sent me this thing. Now, I don't know if you guys agree with this because I didn't agree with him right off the bat when someone found out that I was coming on Real Talk with the fellas. They sent me their little list of, they said, Heaven, here's my 10 remakes that were so bad they were a disgrace to the original film.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Here we go.
So I want to read this off to you guys. If you saw it, you can agree or disagree. This film, the number one on the list, 2010 it came out. This person, I'll give a shout-out. This is Debbie Griffith. Number one on her list was Clash of the Titans 2010.
Yeah. Straight garbage. Oh, my God.
I like the original better. Original way better.
I'm not saying nothing. That was listen, I'm catching flashbacks to that. I wasted $80 on that movie. I drove my kids to Brooklyn.
Damn, man.
My kids to Brooklyn.
Where the hell did you go?
To go see that. We saw it in 3D.
Okay.
No wonder.
I took my kids to go see. Let me tell you something. Well, I wanted to punch somebody in the goddamn face.
And then we'll shout Debbie out because she gave a little thing here. It said, "In so many ways, I really wanted to like this film." She said, "In so many ways, it's been so long since the original, which is a classic, but this plot was an absolute drag." So
yes.
that's what she said.
She didn't have to say nothing else. So that was spot on. Hey, yo, I'm burning up over here. I cannot get that $80 back.
This is number 2, and I agree. I so agree. You got to put this in one of the films that should have never been remade. So far, Debbie is 2 for 2 in my book. 2010 again. Well, that was with a year's bad movie, a bad remake.
Right.
The Karate Kid should have never been made.
God.
Oh, fuck.
Daniel, son, that was not good at all.
Karate Kid with Will Smith's son. We'll just say that. I'm not even going to stop the man's name out. Will Smith's son. And then she put a little thing next to it. Debbie is actually a writer. She put a little thing next to it and said, "No, no, and no again. There's no reason to dampen your appreciation of the original by seeing this very sad remake of a modern classic." I don't think nothing else needs to be said.
No. I want Jade, and I tried to stick up for you. I can't even say this.
The only thing about the new one, at least it was a kid. Ralph Macchio, was he 30 when he did that movie?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like a kid. You know.
I will give Jade this much though. The fight scene at the end
was better.
That was pretty dope.
It was better.
That was good. That was definitely on with spot on.
That was probably the only thing that was good about that film. Number 3, well, she's taking it back. Debbie's not even that old. I don't even know how she remembers this original.
Wow. Is she hot? Anyway, go ahead.
This would come up. Yeah, Debbie Griffith's pretty hot.
Okay, good. I got to look her up.
The third one is The Bad News Bad, 2005.
Oh, what?
The Bad News Bad, 2005.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't even bother. That's like
don't
going
even
to see Starsky and Hutch.
Right.
Why would you even bother? Why would you even bother?
He said the original team of Walter Matthau and Tatum O'Neal, I know it's hard, it's tough to beat, but even Billy Bob Thornton just isn't the right role for a coach. Billy Bob Thornton, after seeing him in Monsters Ball, who's going to fall for that? Him being a little league coach.
No, after seeing him in Bad Santa, who was going to fall for him? I mean, he was great in Bad Santa.
I liked him in Bad Santa. Actually, he was a scumbag, and I liked him in Bad Santa.
Number four is probably my number one. Number four on her list is my number one. This is a film. Number one, wrong person. The only thing he may have had is the look, and that he was foreign. But this was absolutely an atrocity, in my opinion. 2011, Arthur. That should have never been remade.
They remade Arthur?
Yeah, what a disgrace that was.
It was with the guy that was married to the English guy that couldn't keep Katy Perry a year.
Yeah, Russell Brand.
Oh, Russell Brand, thank you. That movie?
Oh, my God. Okay, that was bad. And her little tidbit
is why anyone would attempt to remake Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli's roles and hit Comedy Arthur is subject to question, and I'll leave it at that. That's all she needs to say. 100%. Totally agree.
Yeah, that's a great list.
And we'll start with number five. So far, her list is pretty on point.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Number five. I'm not going to number five because I don't know that movie.
Well, say it anyway.
Number five, this was the Woman. I've never even seen that movie.
I have no idea. Maybe Ralph and Kev know. I don't know.
I know who's in. I think that's that movie with Annette Bening and Jada Pinkett.
Yes, that was that movie.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's the film, but it was a remake. They're saying of. Let me see what she says about it. The original cast of The Woman is entirely women, just like the remake. Men are referred to and certainly impact the plot, but there are a lot to be seen on screen that basically the two of these films share a lack of men. She said
Steel Magnolias.
It features glamorous stars. The original had Joan Crawford. No, that's a really old film. Norma Shearer and Rosalind Russell. So I can't really comment on that, but that pissed her off to put it on number five. And then of this one, I'll make this one my number five, and then we'll get back to the list after we talk about some remakes. Conan the Barbarian, 2011. A remake of Conan the Barbarian.
And in defense of Jason Momoa, I do not blame him for that. I do not blame him for that garbage. I only watched like 10 minutes of it, and I turned it off.
That long, huh?
I'm sorry. They should not have. And also, this is all jokes aside, there are some films that you just should not touch. Like, I'm not against them redoing it with Arnold because they are going to revise. They're going to start the new one with Arnold picking up where he left off with Conan too.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. Because you have the original cast coming back. I don't know why they did that. If they were going to do it, they should have used The Rock, because you could see the difference between Hercules and that. Hercules was spot on. The whole movie was just, The Rock could do no wrong in that. I don't know what that script was with Jason Momoa. It was just as bad as Clash of the Titans, in my opinion.
Wow.
I don't know, but I've never seen it, the remake of Conan the Barbarian, because I'm of the opinion that, look, there's just certain movies that you don't touch. You're not going to be able to remake an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. You don't remake Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Those two guys, I mean, there's other people in there, but there's certain people whose movies you just don't touch. There was no reason to make a Conan the Barbarian remake. Now, if you want to continue the story of Conan, I'm all with that one. New guys playing Conan, I'm with that. Don't go back and redo what we already did, because if you're going to redo it, see, there has got to be rules to making remakes.
I totally agree.
No, if you're going to remake the movie and you're going to use, for example, War of the Worlds, they remade that, but they added modern special effects, upgraded the story to make it look more peaceful. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
but if you're going to remake, for example, let's say in 10 years, someone decides to remake Harry Potter.
They bet.
It's got to be better. You got to make it better than what the original one was. You can't.
There's nothing you could do. There's nothing you could do to Harry Potter except for maybe have a backstory with them being babies or something like that. They're, if somebody did that, I'm telling you, I would kill myself and them. That's just something you don't do.
But
you know what?
I'm sorry. I was going to say we have somebody important right now. We got somebody important right now. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Yes, Wes. You on?
Gentlemen.
Hello, Wes. Yes.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Good
evening. Wait a minute.
Good evening.
A round of applause.
Yes. I might cut off because, you know, I'm on the train, I'm traveling, but I wanted to say about Poltergeist.
Go ahead.
Poltergeist should have never been touched, and
thank you.
You know, there was also a movie that Troy Byer, of all people, the former model, directed a film called Love Don't Cost a Thing, which was starring Nick Cannon, and it was a remake of Can't Buy Me Love, starring Patrick Dempsey.
Right.
And it was a remake, but it was kind of just like a black version of it, really. they just took black people and did the exact same movie and changed the name.
Wow.
But it was a remake of that. But I heard Evan talking about, I guess, what list he was reading off of, and I agree wholeheartedly. Arthur has got to be the worst remake ever in existence. The worst decision to make a remake. Why even do that? Like, what would possess you to do something like that? First of all, what's his name? I'm about to say Milton Bradley. What's his name? Something Brand.
Milton Bradley.
Russell Brand. Russell Brand.
Russell
Brand. Wait, yeah, Milton Bradley.
Right. You sound like a
cereal. Where's Parker Brothers?
It's like a cereals or a game or something. Russell Brand. Yes.
Post-racial
it's
Brand.
Not
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
This dude is not funny, man. Yeah, I know. I got up, get up, and I had me a bowl of Russell Brand. Had me a bowl of Russell Brand.
Yeah.
No, but he's not even funny. And on top of that,
no.
Only like you said, Evan, the only thing he has is he's British. But
that's it.
Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli, they destroyed that. He didn't have no chemistry. He didn't have no chemistry with the butler. You know, him and the butler was so crazy with him. Man, it was terrible. I swear that had to be the worst decision to ever make. And the next worst decision is probably going to be if they decide to remake. We talked about it last week. If they decide to remake Ferris Bueller, and they've been talking about remaking Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the Breakfast Club.
If they do that,
I'm done. So, but I'm gonna get off and try to listen to you guys as long as I don't get cut off.
Cool. So,
what'd you say?
In other words, this deserves this type of soundbite with these remakes we just talked about.
That's what you
perfect sound.
Give me a toilet flush.
I wanted to piggyback on something that Ralph was saying. What Ralph was saying earlier, like if you're going to redo a movie, how you should change it over and make it more modern. My partner here in the office, Kevin, my client that I work with, about a week ago we were talking, and he had mentioned to me, he's like, Kevin, did you see the trailer for the new Point Break? And before I even saw the trailer, before I even seen anything, I just started, y'all know me, I just started going off. I was just like, why? And the da-da-da-da-da. Like, I went on this 15-minute rant, and he's giving me the side eye, like, well, you just shut the hell up about it. Damn, why even open my mouth? I went home that night and watched the trailer. I went to go see San Andreas, and the trailer for that was with San Andreas. And I was a little bit impressed. They updated it. They made it a lot more modern. They switched it up a little bit, but they still kept it like, they're extreme adrenaline junkies, so I'm curious to see how this is all going to turn out. I mean, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, what's his face, Crazy Man, what is his name? I can't remember his name. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that,
boy.
The drunk Nick Nolte.
Yeah, Nick Nolte. Not Nick Nolte. What's the drunk Nick Nolte. Yeah, the drunk Nick Nolte. What is his damn name? I can't remember his name, but anyway. Gary Busey.
Whatever.
Gary Busey. Even the Red Hot Chili Peppers, for that little scene that they were in there. I mean, it's just a classic film. I was like, why are you going to mess with it? But now seeing how they took the extreme sports side of it and just the adrenaline junkie side of it, I think it might come out pretty good. I don't know if they're going to run with the same thing.
Hold on one second. This is breaking news.
I got to say something about that, too, man.
I'm going to let you Ralph, I'm going to let you talk, but this is the most ridiculous thing of all time.
I've heard.
So everyone knows how, and if my brother's still listening, I don't even know if he knows this. This is hot off the press. So one of my, a person that's tuning in, now, if they're saying this to get me upset, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think this is damn funny. Heaven, and I know this is your favorite film of all time, but I am now hearing that Hollywood is thinking about remaking Basic Instinct.
Okay. Now, what did you say, nigga?
The hell? You heard him. Basic Instinct already?
Get the fuck out of here.
Wait a minute! Basic Instinct?
Why? That's
what did you say, nigga?
Yeah, I agree on that. Jesus Christ. You gotta give me a freaking break. Basic Instinct.
All right, I'm gonna say this. First the Point Break.
Oh,
the Point
Jesus.
I saw the Point Break remake trailer today. Is this. It is a stupid idea. Because the entire premise of Point Break, you yanked out of there. The name itself, Point Break, it wasn't about. It was a thing where they came to surfboarding because it's the break of the wave. You guys took the entire premise of the movie and changed it around, but you didn't make it better. You made it worse. And the whole idea of
I agree with you. I think they're just trying to cash in on. I think they're just trying to cash in on the streaming, which is really popular right now.
But see, that, but see, if you
want to cash in on the stream sport.
But now, if you wanted to keep the story, if you wanted to keep the story the same,
and had them surfing.
Oh my God!
But if you would have kept the mode of why the guys are even pulling the robberies,
right.
You change, they did not rob people and just to be robbing and give away. I mean, in the trailer, you got them knocking over all that gold to go down the side of a mountain. They wasn't knocking that; they was taking it.
Yeah.
And the fuel and the stuff they would do. So that's the biggest premise you change right there. Now this little piece of breaking news: a remake of Fatal Attraction.
No, Basic Instinct.
I'm sorry, Basic Instinct.
Let me tell you something. First of all, I'm still pissed off that they even made a Basic Instinct 2. So how dare you?
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, they made a Basic Instinct 2 about 10 years later.
Oh, my God.
First of all.
And it was garbage.
Because they tried to, you know, 10 years later, by that time, Sharon Stone had already stopped talking to Michael Douglas, so she didn't want to fuck with him no more. She didn't want him to film anymore. It took them, on top of that, the first director who directed number one did not direct number two. And it was filmed. It was just Basic Instinct 2 was awful. And Basic Instinct to me is one of my. That's my top favorite. Other than Usual Suspects, Basic Instinct.
That's
my
too.
Two favorite movies of all time.
Two great movies. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Two great.
So remaking Basic Instinct. Have you not had enough? Have you seen what happened with Basic Instinct 2 and they had Sharon Stone in it?
And that's like trying to redo Cape Fear. Like, why?
Yeah.
Oh.
But Cape Fear is a remake.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yes, Cape Fear is a remake from the earlier black and white version, which was just as awesome as the old black and white version.
A lot of people think that was on the list here for remakes that were better. And at first, and the Cape Fear happens. That's a good job by Kevin.
No.
And
yeah,
Ralph.
Agree. Oh,
Cape Fear
also,
was actually turned out as one that was better than the original.
Yes, and also you could add these other two that I just thought off the top of my head. Scarface, that was actually a remake of a movie from the 1930s or 40s.
Which I talked about doing again.
Yes, right. And The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing was a remake.
Yes, that was on the list as well. That was on the
Those
list as well. Said that was better than the original.
Yep, totally agree.
The Thing made by John Carpenter.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
And even the last one that they made, the last thing that they made, that wasn't that bad.
It intertwines with the John Carpenter's The Thing, right? Because with the they show with the dog, you know, the wolf, coming from. Yeah, that looks. Yeah, it looked badass. I didn't get a chance, but it looked pretty good. I gotta check.
Oh
that
my
out.
God, that Aunt Esther still got me crying.
Yo, that thing, James, where did you get that from? Because yo, I was laughing so hard I was sweating.
That's my ace in the hole right there. That's my real flesh of audio files.
You said it perfectly right on time too. Oh my God. So
Ralph, I have to apologize for laughing over you.
That's all right, man.
Yeah,
that did come out of nowhere. It was like, what?
I just love how Ralph, like a professional, kept on talking. We're laughing. Like 5 years
old. Oh, man,
only.
I was like, I hope Ralph don't hear me laughing. I was trying to cover my mouth.
You're the reason why I kept laughing.
That's why I still laughing.
Because I can hear you laughing.
No, that was too much. So now let's ask the question: the remake.
Go ahead.
Do you think they're necessary? I mean, me personally, I like the idea that Jaws is doing, and I stated that last week. Why don't you? All these great films that you talk about, you know, and your kids are like, yeah, you're so old. You know, all those films that you're talking about, and when they sit down and you try to show them on TV, it's like. It looks so corny because it's not in HD. It's not, and they're like, this isn't scary. I mean, but if you bring back those old films and you put them now in a modern day movie theater with modern day sound and HD and just totally redesign it, but keep the same film, I like that idea and reopen it back in movie theaters. To me, that's a better idea. Than trying to remake these great films.
Well, they were doing that last year. It's actually for about the last, I want to say almost 7 to 8 years, United Artists, mainly Regal Theaters, was pretty much doing that. They had from like Sunday to Thursday, they would have once a month, they would have like 5 films that they would feature that they would bring back to the silver screen. Which was awesome. I think your brother actually went out once to go see it, like about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. He went out to go see The Exorcist when that was screened. They rescreened Scarface at one point. They did Casablanca, the original Casablanca. They did Gone with the Wind. So periodically they do it. But, you know, the audience, like, I just used my daughter, for example. Excuse me, Crummy, not to put you on blast, Mama. But, like, she said to me one day, she's like, Daddy, I don't want to see no old films. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see those films that are not sharp and they're blurry and da da da. I'm like, what's sharp and blurry? I'm like, what are you talking? And then she goes back, and then she'll come turn around and ask me like, Dad, do you have the Count of Monte Cristo? And I'm like, which one? And she's like, not that one, but I want to see the old one. But wait, I thought you don't like old gritty films.
Right.
But you're gonna watch this. So there's some things that the younger generation will watch. And then there's something they don't want to see. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess with the theaters, when it comes down to business-wise, us as an adult, us being in our 30s and our 40s, we would go out and go see these films. You know, especially
Something
we really want to see. Like Jaws. Like Kevin said, they're bringing back Jaws to come back to theaters. I think that's probably going to be huge.
Yeah.
I'll go see Jaws.
When they re-released The Exorcist, that was with the extra scenes. That's the one, Kevin, I walked out of.
Yeah.
I walked out of that because that was just ridiculous.
When she came down the back of the steps with the spider, the caterpillar, whatever. The spider, they call it.
Like a spider.
Spider walk.
Yeah, the spider.
Yeah, her body, her whole body was contorted. I got out of there.
Yeah, that was. Oh, that was creepy.
That was very creepy. She was never the same after that film. She went on record of actually saying that.
When she got older, though.
What, yeah, she said during that film, you know, she was creeped out for like, you know, close to 10 years. After that,
she
never really recovered. And Hollywood, she made a couple of films, but she never really recovered from that. She's been
that's
out of films point. For years.
Yes.
And they're not going to slip off the subject, but you're not going to. The same thing with Poltergeist. You're not going to, and I hate to get deep and spiritual on this, but when you, especially back then, like the 70s and the 80s, because all the craziness that was going on, films like that, you're tapping in to the spirit realm. You're saying stuff, and you're opening up doors for stuff to come out. So, of course, when you go home, you're going to see stuff peeking out your closet that you like.
Did you worry? Did you want to see me in person? Did you want to talk about something? I can help you with your
right.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
So we're going to jump
no.
back to it.
Right,
we'll jump
I just
back
wanted to,
the,
I wanted to say one
go
thing.
Okay,
wait. Sorry. I was just saying, when we had Diane Franklin on, remember, guys, she talked about doing a remake. They were doing a remake for The Last American Virgin.
Mm.
And,
Not going to work.
Yeah. And I think she was talking about, I think they was going to ask her to be in it or something like that. But,
right.
That's a good segue too, because they're doing another Amityville Horror, which I think got bumped up to February of next year.
Right.
Yeah, because originally it was supposed to come out in January, right?
Yeah.
At first, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the trailer on that. I don't know about that.
What do you guys think about the remakes for like Friday the 13th and
I hate them.
No, stop.
No,
that
wasn't
bad. So that Friday the 13th, let me tell you something. That Friday the 13th
wasn't
that bad. It was on point.
Mm.
It was.
I liked
point.
The first. I thought the first 15 minutes was so good that you saw Jason, and then because I saw it with a crowd full of people in New York City, and we were like, wait a minute, Jason showed up in the first 10 minutes, and then you saw him do the kill, and then said Friday the 13th. People was like, yeah. That's how you start a movie.
Now Friday the 13th, I would probably have to see over. But I'm telling you, I was so turned off by the Halloweens. You should never.
Well,
those Halloweens were awful. They had awful.
No,
the guys
no, no,
got
wait,
told
wait,
awful Dr. Loomis.
Now, I'll see, say now you open. You just opened up the door.
Wait.
No. Yeah, I'll say this real quick. The remake of the first one, very good. The second
remake, no good.
Garbage. But
the first one wasn't that good.
First one.
Listen,
I love the first. I thought the first one was kind of cool.
Rob Zombie did
thank
an
you.
Awesome
I agree
job.
With you.
Rob Zombie did an awesome job with that, that first one. The second one, I will agree.
Rob
not
Zombie
so much.
Does.
You know what happened there for what I heard in an interview with Rob Zombie? He didn't think there was going to be another one. So when Hollywood basically came to him, hey, can you do another one? He just saw the money. He was like, all right, I'll do one. And he did it half-assed, and you could tell. That's what basically happened.
In both movies, he robbed zombie dust, and that's the problem. All his characters were backwood hillbilly long. Hair freaks.
You had the Undertaker playing Jason, playing Michael Myers. Thing about Michael Myers that made Michael Myers so scary is that he was smaller than all of us.
And he
and Michael Myers is not a big dude.
Yeah.
Right? He's a normal sized dude. Okay, and that's what added to the fear of Michael Myers. You got this big dude, 6'7" or whatever. This guy was a giant, almost.
He was a big
of course,
like,
you're going to be scared of him. But you know that added to the mystique. That added to the mystique of Michael Myers.
Yeah. Oh well.
I thought it was awful.
Well,
and the
Loomis.
The original guy in the original Michael Myers, who didn't, you know, who wasn't the guy that what's her face took off the mask. That was a guy that just got in there. The original guy.
Yeah, I heard they used like three different Michael Myers in Halloween.
The original guy. You didn't see his face at all. You see him in the documentary, but he was saying, "Damn, I was the best one," and he was, because in the second one they used the guy, and he walked like a robot. The first guy was so natural,
and it was just a guy who, you know what, how is someone this small, this normal size, doing these super powerful things, and he never ran, he walked like a regular walk, not like a robotic, like they were trying to walk crazy. He did a regular walk, you know what I mean? So that's what made Halloween, to me.
You know,
classic and untouchable. That's an untouchable film. It's one of those films that I just can't. Now, Friday the 13th, I will definitely check that out because you guys said it was pretty good. The original Friday the 13th, wasn't Jason's mother the killer?
Yep.
And the second one. I'm going to give you an even worse remake.
The new version of Friday the 13th is not really so much a reboot of the original. It's not the origin story again. It's actually like a reboot of the franchise is what it actually is. It's not really a reboot of the first one. Like, Jason is still lurking around. Like, when they – I don't want to give the film away, but when they show Camp Crystal Lake, they're actually showing, like – they're showing it, like, in ruins now. This is, like – 20 years later, and Camp Crystal Lake is actually in ruins.
So it's like a reboot. It's kind of like H2O.
I wouldn't even go. No, that was
an awful movie, but the idea.
The idea was like a revamping, like trying to bring the franchise back. Which this one did it perfectly right. Like this Friday the 13th, the remake of Friday the 13th was better than the remake of. Of the last Freddy
movie. Nightmare on Elm Street.
That was the worst. That was the worst.
Well, I got one more thing to say about where Rob Zombie really missed, where he really missed his mark is where the relationship with Loomis and Michael Myers.
I will agree. I 100% agree with that.
Huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Because that dude was the wrong dude to play Loomis anyway. He was too bright. He was
too cocky.
Yeah, exactly. Loomis was more laid back. He was more. He was a lot more caring.
Yeah, Loomis play around with Michael Myers. This dude wanted to be Michael Myers' friend. Yeah. Loomis didn't want to be Michael Myers' friend. This guy, Michael, please, don't do it. You know that's not how Loomis fought for him.
Do your favorite line,
Heaven. You don't know what death is.
That's
the greatest line ever. Are you kidding me? I shot him six times. Are you just some type of joke? I've been trick or treated to death tonight. You don't know what death is.
You don't know what death is.
That Loomis was so good, and he did not like. He didn't like Michael Myers. He had no liking of Michael Myers. The way Rob Zombie told it is like they were friends. Like he liked him, he cared for him, and that's BS. That's a terrible job by Rob Zombie.
And you know what it is too. I think that dynamic is the fact that they started that relationship off too young between him and Michael, and I think that's what kind of made that, you know, that friendship there. I think if they would have started with him being a little bit older, like in the original one, like when he was like 17, 18, or whatever the case may be, would have been a different dynamic.
Right. So, we'll move on to that. We'll end up coming back to the remakes, but Saturday night,
come on
the crest of the great triumph of Empire, Power was back. For season 2, episode 1, and as you know, that executive producer Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, who is now a full-fledged cast member, thank God,
Anyway.
Full fledged cast member of the film. I mean of the series. So now last year, episode one left me a little, like I said, I didn't really catch on to Power to about episode four. Episode one, two, three kind of left me like, what the hell is going on around here? And when is this going to pick up? I mean, and so it really didn't pick up until episode four. So now, episode one of season two, Kanan, which is 50 Cent, he's now out of jail. And as you know, 50 Cent's son is the one he calls his son is the driver for Ghost, which is Jamie. Now, it took off at the end of last season. The girl, Tommy, who is, and I got something to say about that too. Tommy, who is Ghost's partner, this is the white dude, his girl ends up getting shot by, I believe, Pink Sneakers shot Tommy's girl while she was attempting. Yeah,
I hate that bitch.
Yeah, she was attempting to kill.
Wow.
She was attempting to kill Ghost because 50 Cent now that he's out of jail, Kanan's out of jail, he's thinking that, you know, Pink Sneakers has killed Ghost. So when he gets the phone call, when 50's son gets the phone call, when Kanan's son gets the phone call, I believe it was from Ghost's wife, Notori.
Yeah.
She tells him, I think Kanan hears him say, well, thank God he's okay or something like that. And then 50's smile disappears because he was kind of like laughing in the car.
Face, I'm sorry. Yo, the look on his face when he was looking out the window and laughing, I'm like, yo, he took real life and definitely brought that into film. Because when doing stuff like that, yo, I was cracking up because I binged on it yesterday.
And
I
when he found out when he found out she missed, he was that cracked me up. She actually missed.
his whole confidence changed. Like what?
Right.
What happened?
But yo, the reason why, and I'll get to why Ralph said he disagreed. The reason why I like 50 is because he comes right in and he brings the violence with him. Now, if you're waiting for the violence, he comes out of jail. The first person he goes to see, they ain't no, hey, how you doing? You know, glad to see you back around these streets. He comes right in for the dude after he's looking for Pink Sneakers. He comes in and he wants to ask the dude, to tell the dude he better find Pink Sneakers, and he just destroys this dude.
Yeah.
Beats the crap out of him, you know, like a guy who, like a boss that's been that's coming out of jail to reclaim his territory. This is the problem I have, and this is why I say we need him in this film. I mean, in this show, because I'm sorry, I have a problem with these two clowns, Ghost and this other dude.
Oh boy, here we go.
These dudes are not bosses. They are not bosses. And I'll tell you why. Two scenes that made me say, and of course now we just start comparing them to Lucius because, you know, that's the other show that's on the scene. You got start comparing them to Terrence Howard and Empire. Okay.
Yeah.
But, I'm not comparing the shows. The shows are completely different. But I'll tell you what I mean. Lucius killed relatives. Killed his ex-wife's relative, punched his son in his fucking face. Okay, so Lucius don't care. It's about him. It's about it's the power and the money. You're gonna tell me this dude Ghost is supposed to be the boss? Tommy is the sidekick. Now that was established from the beginning.
Not really. Not really.
Right. No, when the show, but as the show comes on, you know, to be established in the first one, this is supposed to be, you know, that's Ghost you see on all the previews, on the posters. You don't see Tommy. You know,
yeah,
so Ghost
Tommy's
is
not
guy.
Treated as a partner. He's a
right.
partner, but he's not treated as a partner.
Right, he's not treated as a partner.
He's a side
This is mostly Ghost created the club. Ghost started, you know, Ghost said, this is his streets. You know, he ran, because Tommy's not from that area. know what I mean? So my thing is this. You come back, Tommy disappears, you walk into Tommy's crib, or to Tommy's mom's crib, okay? Absolutely no respect for the boss. If this dude would have pulled a gun on me, and he's my sidekick, first of all, where is this dude? Just kind of like, gee, Tommy, what the fuck? I would have said, let me tell you something, Tommy. First of all, nigga, if you don't get that gun out my face, I'ma fuck you up. That would have been the first thing. That's how a boss talks. This dude had him, you know, I don't believe, I don't trust you. You know, you're going to take off with this girl, whatever. He pulls a gun on him. That's not how they have you ever, did you see, would anybody come pull a gun on Tony? come pull a gun on Scarface in his understudy?
No, mine.
Would Manny come and put a gun to Tony's face?
Now you gotta remember. You have to remember the dynamic of their relationship, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They go back. They're friends since they were kids. So even
you know
even
what?
When they so
wait,
even,
wait, got,
even
I'm,
when
I'm,
they were arguing. Go ahead, Ralph.
I'm sorry. I gotta interject. I before you even mention that's bullshit. It's bullshit. I'm gonna just put it like that. You wanna say they go back? Look at the Sopranos. Would anybody in Tony Soprano's crew, would they pull the gun on Tony? And Tony would have just sat in a chair all nice and calm and cool.
Right.
And all the and the guy that was his name? The dude that worked in the bar, that owned the bar, he knew him since he was a kid. So,
right.
Nah.
I understand that. But the one thing that y'all are not keeping into context of this whole thing, absolutely, what you're saying, yes. And even what's his face, the drug lord or whoever he is, he's trying to get James to be, he's trying to get Ghost to get to step his game up, to become
right.
the leader and get everybody to be under him. But the one dynamic you got to remember is when he came there looking for Tommy, he came there looking for Tommy as a friend. So he didn't come there looking for him as a boss. Number two, when Tommy told him about Angela, that messed his whole world up. Like, wait a minute, what do you mean? What do you mean she's a Fed? What do you mean she's an attorney for the Fed? Which, to me, now that part of it, that was one of the parts of the story that I was kind of struggling with, because why is this not being mentioned? You know, how is it they're meeting up like this and they don't talk shop and she avoids telling him? Why would she avoid telling him? And now this is a problem that I have with the writer, not with the actor.
Okay.
How do you avoid? There's no way that you're sleeping with each other. You haven't seen each other in 20 years. Now you're hooking up and you're banging each other. So in between pillow talk, y'all not talking shop and talking out for office. Obviously, he's not going to tell her about the drug side of what he's
right.
doing because he keeps that quiet.
Told him she was a lawyer,
right?
For the
but still, she would have talked shop. Even as an attorney,
she's a U.S. attorney.
Yeah,
it was classified. She couldn't.
But even if it's classified, that particular case was classified. But she still could have been like, oh, well, you know, I've been working for the U.S. Attorney's Office for such and such years. There was no mention of that.
Yeah. By the way, we have somebody that I think could add their two cents to this situation.
All right.
When I say 305, who you think? Guess who?
Cobra Commander.
Cobra's coming. Yeah. How y'all doing?
First and foremost, Flesh, you got to get that sound bite of Cobra. Cobra! You got to get that
Cobra.
Sound bite.
I
got to
get it.
First of all, I'm going to say something. I'm going to start off with it. Who said that Michael Myers, Rob Zombie was not good?
You know
who
I
said
it?
I like the first one.
Okay,
who?
No, that wasn't me. That wasn't
well, not good. I'm me.
Evan Hollywood.
Yeah.
See, you need to put on some panty draws. Put on your panty draws because it was fabulous in every aspect of the word. Because
what?
The thing about it is, I'm gonna tell you why it was fabulous. It took you in the aspect of it made you feel like rather than somebody can be a serial killer, it could be the kid next door to you that flips out and be a serial killer. That's reality. Most serial killers live in cookie cutter neighborhoods. And cookie cutter neighborhoods. And I like the personalness of it. Now, Power.
He had some points. He had some points, but the point is, he missed that whole relationship.
Right.
With,
when you see the original, I'm comparing it to the original.
With him and
Loomis,
he missed that relationship. And
with,
on top of that, he like I said, the biggest problem I had Cobra Commander was he Rob Zombied us. Like Rob Zombie, all his movies is the same type of people, the backwood country ass, bumpkin, long neck, hillbilly ass, white trash. That
okay, and my thing is that's who Rob Zombie is. You only can relate to the motherfucker you are.
True.
That's the reason why he shouldn't have been remaking Halloween. He made something that he can relate to on a personal level. It's like to me in Pulp Fiction when Ving Rhames is getting fucked up the ass. Guess what? That's something John Tarantino can relate to. That's why he's
good
in
there. Wow.
That's foul. That was wrong.
I said it, and I meant it. It's Cobra way. And now, on an aspect of power, I'm going to say this. My man is absolutely right. Ghost and all these motherfuckers, when Curtis came on the scene, he brought the violence. He brought the gangster to this. To that point, they were a bunch of panty-waist pussy-ass dudes when they were working in the nightclub. That's all I saw, Mark.
Right.
And the dude would have pulled a gun on me, partner or not. If I'm the boss, I would have stood there cool and collective. That night, his ass would have been dead up in his crib. Because you don't have no right to pull no gun on me. I'm the boss, bitch.
And my point, that's my point. Friends or not friends.
Friends.
Okay, I understand. If you're my friend, and we're in business together,
exactly.
I'm not going to pull a gun on you. I'm going
to
come to you and say, listen.
Cobra had already had in his mind,
without even checking with your friend, that this dude was screwing him over.
And here's my problem with that. I would have told him, you know what? You my friend. I would have Michael Corleone on his ass. Kissed him, bed him. You broke
your
heart,
and
motherfucker.
And
walked out this motherfucker. And the time I got to my car, a big-ass missile would have hit his house.
This is my thing, okay? And, Kev, I hear you. I see your point. Yes, he came to him as a friend, but he was also looking for him because they had business to tend to. He couldn't move that weight without time. And I'm going to get to the other point of where this dude is not a boss. The first thing is, like I said, is with Tommy. The bottom line is, if Tommy, like I said, he's a hothead, if this is supposed to be your buddy, you're supposed to be on some ghost. Tell me you didn't know this chick was a Fed. Please tell me you did not know she was a Fed. You know, I'm getting bad vibes here. What were you doing? Are you trying? Please tell me you're not trying to take off and leave me to get arrested. I mean, you're not going to. You said this guy already had it in his mind that was the truth before he even checked with you.
He's a drunk guy. He's a cokehead, and he was paranoid because when he went to go kill
him, that's all the more reason why I'm going to shoot your ass. You have liability now. Liability. You're a cokehead that's pulling guns on your goddamn homie. Nigga, you're volatile like a bitch. So I'm going to treat you like one and shoot your ass. Put you out your fucking misery.
Here's my second point, and I'm going to ask Kev, Wes, if he's still on the line, and Cobra, and Ralph. Okay. When he went to the hood to talk to the guy who played Little 50 Cent, is it me or was that guy talking to him a little reckless?
He treated him like he
was his motherfucking redhead stepchild. What the fuck?
Yo, you know what? Yeah. You know what?
He should have smacked that kid up.
Exactly. I would have smacked his ass right off the fucking bench. Like,
who are you talking to? This is my motherfucker. Nigga, if you don't, I would have grabbed that little nigga by his face. And if anybody, and the other guy, he talked about some, this dude act like he was going to see the boss. I want you to
first
this way for me.
Yet again, I'm going to show my nature of my mindset. First, like you said, grab that little dude by his face. This is little 50 Cent. So you ain't going to kill him. But goddamn, they would have called him Little Goddamn Limpy, because I would have fucking pulled out my gun and shot him in his leg. And next time you talk fucking reckless like me, I'm going to shoot you again, you motherfucker. And go tell your daddy, too. Tell your daddy what I did to you.
And tell these little niggas back, y'all better move the fuck out the way. Talk about
that. Move the fuck out the goddamn way. Exactly. I'm shooting everybody.
Of course I'm cool. You
let me
give
it to you.
I'm okay to come back to a neighborhood that he's supposed to be running? That's my
fuck
point.
You. He had not an ounce of boss in him. He did not have an ounce of boss in him. And I'm gonna make a reference right here. When my man, I'm gonna put it to you. You everybody saw John Wick. When the motherfuckers came there with the car, and the little John Leguizamo punched that motherfucker in the face. Then the boss called him like, nigga, you punched my son. Can you tell me? He said he took John Wick's car and he didn't kill him. That motherfucker said, oh, shit, thank you, and hung the fuck up.
Great movie, by the way.
Because he knew
great
what
movie.
Time the fuck
was
it was.
Good. He goes, oh,
he knew what
shit,
time the fuck
him.
It was. He knew exactly what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And he
right.
knew what it was. And he knew for a fact, this motherfucker is coming. He's coming with the truth. Now, that motherfucker, he wasn't even a boss. He was a hitman. And he had boss respect. You can't tell me you're a fucking boss and you ain't got no respect. You a bitch ass nightclub runner.
You know, the young dudes in your corner, they supposed to be your cronies.
And you ain't supposed to be down there asking them. He's down there pleading with them, like, oh,
right.
damn, they're pleading with him. Like,
can you please sell
this
weight?
No.
I need help getting rid of it. What?
Yeah. No, you come down here. Listen, I'm about to drop 6 keys on you. You gonna move this shit?
Right. Or else you're fired, and I'm going to smack the shit out you. And if you can't do it, I'll find other people to do it. If you can't do it,
no.
finish, Ronnie. Out here.
No. Hell no. Y'all still.
You dead out here.
No. Here, my thing is like this. You're still explaining too much to you in my mind. You're explaining too much. I'm bringing these 6 keys down here. I want this shit sold by Friday. And if you can't move it, guess what? It's a retirement plan I'm giving. It's called death. If you don't move my shit, I'm shooting everybody.
Yeah.
I'm running my block like the wire. Did my
that's
man
my
on the wire ask the motherfuckers? He sent that shit to him. They got to move it. They knew what the fuck it was.
Oh, man. Cobra, man. Thank you for chiming in. The one and only. As always. Chiming in with some classic
and
stuff.
And my man, you still take your panties off, son. I'm telling you. You know who I'm talking to, too. Take your damn panties off. No, goddamn it.
I just can't do it. I cannot do it, but thanks, man. I appreciate that. As always. Chiming in with classic material.
Yes, material. Cobra Commander.
That,
by the way, he's always a great call.
Yeah,
yes,
that
Cobra is.
But that's my point. And so I got to ask you guys, as we go over, we're all pretty much in agreement with this dude is, you know, he's not acting like a boss. That's how I compared. Not comparing the shows, they're totally different. But Lucius is a boss. Okay, Lucius is a boss, and that's Terrence Howard on Empire. Okay, this dude, not only does Tommy roll up on him, you had this little kid, and even by the end of the conversation, I'll hit you up. Oh, no, whoa, wait a minute. No, nigga, you ain't got no time to think about this. I'll give you 2 seconds, yes or no. And I said, you going to tell me you're going to hit me up? So he's got to wait until this kid talks to these homies who's supposed to be under Ghost.
Well, no. You know, and I got to take that back. I got to take back what I said before. Because actually, they're not under Ghost. He's just a distributor. He's passing the work out to them. That's all he
did. Yeah, but
remember what he said to him.
Yeah. Remember what he said to him. He was like, remember these streets you run in. You know, he was
basically
saying,
I used to run back
in
the day. I handed them off to you.
Right. Hand them off to the dude that he killed, and then he's saying,
and that's because
he handed them off to you.
And that's because Timmy, when What's-His-Face was on the street, and like he said to Tommy, when he corrected Tommy, he was like, yo, you can't say that, whatever it was that he said. He's like, that's just like when we was out on the corner. So technically, in all aspects of the of everything, they're like kind of, I don't want to say they're fresh off the block because they're 20 years deep since forever how long 50 was in jail for.
Right.
The other aspect of it too is the fact that he's trying to get out the game. Now I think, in my own opinion, I think he's going to step his boss game up now that his club thing is fucked up.
Right. All right. We'll see about that. We'll see once he finds out, you're trying to interrupt James. There must be somebody on the line.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. We have another call if you want to take.
Great.
You got time.
Bring him in.
All right. 770 is on the air with us. 770.
Hello. What's going on?
Hey.
What's up?
Is that Locke?
What's the deal, man? I'm up here in your state and shit. I'm up in New York staying for a minute grinding this music.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. Locke, big round of
applause. Nice.
Real quick, before we even got into power, you know I was going crazy over them remakes. So I'm gonna just run through a couple real quick, and we're gonna move on to power. First of all, Nightmare on Elm Street made me want to unsee the original movie.
Unsee?
Wow!
It doesn't even make sense.
Wow.
Like, it's terrible.
Wow.
They changed Freddy's makeup. I mean, it's the girl. The girl is totally uninspiring. Cause the last girl or the survivor girl from Nightmare on Elm Street is probably one of the best. She's probably one of the best survivor girls of any horror movie ever. And I don't know.
Hell yeah. Jimmy Lee.
All right. That Friday the 13th movie, I don't know what that was. I don't understand. But whatever.
Yeah.
It was like some kind of mashup. Total Recall.
Uh-oh. Terrible.
That
bad, huh? I didn't see it.
I don't know what they was thinking. I mean, it was basically yes, it was garbage. I mean, Total Recall is one of them movies that make you scratch your head every time you see it. But the remake will make you scratch your head for a whole other reason.
Scratch your ball.
But wait, you remember the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner remix where they replaced the black and the white people?
Yes.
It made no sense.
That's right.
Oh my God.
That's the reason why it's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Right.
That's true. And Zoe Saldana.
Right.
That's right.
The Psycho remake. Why?
The Psycho. Now you're talking about the one, same guy, but years later.
Well, the Psycho
remake
with, was the same
the
movie,
with,
scene
Vince
for scene.
Vaughn.
Exactly.
Right.
And the thing about it is that if you know the end of Psycho, I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, it was doing like the end of Psycho is one of the best reveals ever. It uses all this rope on the remake because you already know that he's his mother, and it's just stupid.
You know, I'm in the chat, but you know what's so sad about that Psycho remake? Is that it's a shot-for-shot remake. So if the first movie was good and you basically remade it shot-for-shot, how do you screw it up?
And visually, it wasn't bad. It's just that they actually copied camera scenes. They copied everything. But wait a minute. This one, I can't believe nobody talked about this shit. That motherfucking, the remake to Shaft.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Jesus.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that
was
fired on
that
one.
Shots
that
fired
was
on that
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay.
It was horrible.
The thing, even though it is a remake, but they did, storyline wise, he wasn't John Shaft. He was his nephew.
He was his nephew or something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
John Shaft.
So
we'll call it a remake reboot.
Oh man. Now,
okay.
What's your feeling on that?
Oh man. The only thing I'm kind of mad about is they did not speak on the fact that Ghost ordered all them drugs on the finale.
Yeah, right.
If you were You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was a cool debut. It wasn't nothing spectacular, but what can you ask for season two debut? You know what I'm saying? All they could do really was keep on with the story. But my only issue is, nigga, I'm just like, number one, Tommy got to go. Let's establish that, first of all. Nigga, you pulling guns. You fucking, you're choking me up. Nigga, you got to go.
Right. That's my point. That's my point. How are you my boy? Listen.
But I had to tell Tommy on some. Nigga, that bitch told you that she was a government lawyer, nigga, and you ain't put nothing together.
Dumbass.
A government lawyer? What the fuck did you think that she did, my nigga?
Because that was a funny line. He said, who the fuck you think worked for the government?
Yeah, that was kind of.
Let me hear that sound bite again, James.
Oh,
you big dummy.
Every diet when 50 had his Scarface moment when he thought Ghost was dead and then he realized he wasn't dead.
Right.
That was hilarious.
No, that was funny. That was the best. And like I said, that's why I said, and I know Ralph disagreed in the beginning, but that's why I said you need 50 there. 50's the muscle. Because 50, if there's one thing 50 can do, and from the very first scene, you know, he ain't showing no love for Ghost. He's already made it clear he's going to kill Ghost.
Well, see, you know, I got a theory that, and other people came up with it too, that Ghost and them six could nine up to go to jail. And the reason why
set up Kanan.
Huh?
You think Ghost set Kanan up, Ghost and his boys.
Yeah, now I don't even know if he knows that, but he acts like he might know it. But it was a part last season where they spoke on how dude got caught. And it was like hella suspect how he got caught. It was like something with like the car he was in, where like somebody
he said somebody unscrewed the taillight out.
Exactly. And I definitely could see Tommy doing that, no doubt.
That might have been a Tommy move. That felt like a Tommy move.
Right.
Then I'm trying to understand why everybody was acting all sad because that child molester got killed.
Right. It's scumbag. He's supposed to get killed.
But I do think it's definitely coming
together. That was a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
The guy went to him when I forgot the guy. I guess that was Ruiz. I think that was.
Yeah.
And when he went to him.
That was Nomar.
Nomar is the one that got killed.
Right.
Now, it was because he was screwing around with the other guy's daughter.
Yeah. That was Ruiz.
That was gangster when he walked into the funeral and he paid for the funeral.
Paid for the funeral and then gave his mom some more money. That was just
That was gang. So, because we're closing in on time to go, but so now, after the power, episode one, season two, if you have it, the rating is 5 from what you guys have seen. Let's go around the horn. What do you give it? 1 to 5 rating for 8. Oh, remember, it is an opening. It's got to be power. It's got to be good. Opening episode of the season 2. 1 to 5. Kevin?
I give it a 3.
Wes?
I'm going to say 2.5.
Locke still on the line?
I'm going to give it a 4. I wasn't mad at it.
4?
Wow.
A lot of people did too, I'm not going to lie. Ralph?
I'm going to give it a 3.
Jimmy Ace, did you see it?
No, so I can't say it.
You're the producer. The producer doesn't watch it.
Nah.
I'm going to say 3. I'm going to give it about a 3. Like I said, the reason why I'm giving it 3 is because of the sex scenes with Angie. Angie showed her tits, so that's worth a half.
All right. So that should be a five.
I love her.
That would be half, because it would be 2.5, but then she made a 3.
Angie.
I was really not feeling this passiveness from this dude. He's got to step it up,
yeah,
or else I'm going to start questioning him for this role. I don't want to do that, because I like Amari Hardwick, but I'm going to start questioning him for this role if he gives me about 2 more episodes where this guy is not stepping. Now that he found out that from Tommy that this chick is now we have to see whether he believes her or not once she tells him whatever she's going to tell him. Or is he going to pull a Michael Douglas with Sharon Stone and believe everything she says? Whether he's going to believe her or not, I want to see how he's now going to react. I agree with Kevin. I want to see how he's going to react from going forward.
I think the biggest twist could be, and who could, the son, he a chump. But 50 could fuck Tasha.
That would be
great. I think he could.
I think, like I said, like we discussed when Pink Sneakers was a guest on the show, I think 50, I agree with Kevin, I think 50 was fucking Pink Sneakers. I think she's like an girlfriend or something.
No, I don't think it was no doubt, because if you see their interaction when she came to visit him in jail, you know, it was a little
right.
bit of touchy-feely going on. I'm like, hold up, though. That nigga been in jail for 10 years. So unless he got conjugal visits and known that bitch since he was like 13, I don't know. But I want to say, I also give it a 4 because I love pink shoes. And I swear that I am going to patrol the streets of Manhattan until I end up in a club where pink shoes is at. I really like her a lot.
You should have been joining the
club
last week.
Oh,
my man, you have been listening.
Crazy show. Shout out to Leslie Lopez, who was guest last week. Well, guys, we'll have to do it again in 7 days.
7 days.
It was a blast. I want to thank Dollhouse Radio, thank the director for letting me fill in for him, and
thank the
Jedi Council for, you know, let me piggyback for an hour and a half, and of course the super producer Jimmy Ace.
Well, thank
you.
Thank
you for producing the show.
No
and
problem.
Appreciate it. I don't know. I guess Wes can take us home. You know, I don't want, like I said, I don't like doing people's lines.
Yeah, I know, but just as you said that, his call dropped, so that sucks. So
okay, so as we all know, he always ends with
breakfast. Yeah, you know it.
So I hope you have that already.
I got that ready, but we don't want to say his thing, but that's his thing.
Yeah, we don't want to say his thing. So the Jedi Council, thank you again. Thank everybody for tuning in to Real Talk, and we'll see you all next Monday.
Thanks for the call.
Dollhouse Radio. Good night.
Yes. Ladies and tomatoes and ladies. Rocky. Come on, Rocky. You can win, Rocky.
What are you waiting for, Rock?
Brother, come on. Come on, Rocky. Eat lightning and crap out something. Come on, Rocky.
Wow. You can't win.
Anyway. Okay, good night. Hit the music.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, good night. There's the tomatoes.